This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We continue with the tafsir of Ayat al-Kursi. We've reached qawlihi ta'ala, La ta'khuduhu sinatun wala nawm. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying in this part of the ayah that He is not overtaken by slumber, nor is He overtaken by sleep. And this part of the ayah is a continuation of the last part of the ayah. So now we have that Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum, la ta'khuduhu sinatun wala nawm. Al-hayyu al-qayyum la ta'khuduhu sinatun wala nawm. We understand these two parts together. And this, in fact, is the highest form of praise. And so here, we bring your attention to a principle concerning the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla. There is a principle. Memorize this principle. And this is that the most complete and perfect form of praise is when you affirm a praiseworthy quality and you negate its opposite. You affirm a praiseworthy quality and you negate its opposite. Yani, what does this mean? I'll give you an example first. If I was to say to you, Ahmed only speaks the truth. I praised him. That's a praiseworthy quality. But if I said, Ahmed only speaks the truth and he's never lied before. Now this is complete and perfect form of praise. Because I affirmed for him a praiseworthy quality and I negated its opposite. For in this case here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. He's the absolute all-living. Al-Qayyum, He's the one who sustains everything and maintains everything. La ta'khuduhu sinatun wala nawm. And He is never overtaken by slumber. We'll say what a sinah is. Wala nawm. And He is never overtaken by sleep. Yani, as though we're saying Allah Azza wa Jal is the all-living and maintainer of all creation and He never sleeps. He's the all-living and He never sleeps. This is the absolute, complete and most perfect form of praise. And another example is when we say that Allah Azza wa Jal is just and He never oppresses anyone. You affirm the praiseworthy quality and you negate its opposite. Right? So we understood this. فَإِذَنْ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومِ connected to the next part, which is لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ, meaning He's not heedless. Therefore, if He's not heedless, not even for a second, that means He is aware of everything that you do and everything that you say during the day and during the night. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. It creates two things in the heart of a believer. It increases his hope in Allah and his love for Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah is all living and He sustains and maintains everything and He does not sleep. Therefore, we rely upon a Lord that doesn't sleep. He's always there. Whenever you want to call Him, He's aware. For now, we have hope in Allah. We have love for Allah Azza wa Jal. And at the same time, it creates fear in the heart of a believer that Allah Azza wa Jal is not heedless for an absolute second. So watch out and be careful about everything you do and everything you say during the day and during the night, because He sees it and He hears it. لا تأخذه سنة. The word السنة, it means slumber. That's how it's translated, slumber. And a sinah is actually the first stage of sleep. When you put your head on the pillow, usually the first thing that you'll go through is something known as a sinah, which is a first stage of sleep. That's when a person is yawning, his eyes are very heavy, they're closing, he's dozing off, he's nodding, right? These are the first stages of sleep, a sinah. With the word an-nawm, that is the major state of sleep. And that is when a person enters a deep sleep. And ulama rahimahumullah, they say that as-sinah is when the eye shuts down. When Naum is when the heart shuts down. So now a person is completely sleeping. As-sinah wa Naum, stage one and stage two. Wallah Azza wa Jal, he said, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ تَأْخُذُهُ, it does not overcome him. Meaning, sinah, slumber, the first stages of sleep, and sleep itself, don't even stand a chance in front of him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said concerning this ayah, as Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu narrates, he said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood and he gave us and addressed us with words, with five words. He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَا يَنَامُ وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَنَامُ يَخْفِضُ الْقِسْطَ وَيَرْفَعُهُ يُرْفَعُ إِلَيْهِ عَمَلُ اللَّيْلِ قَبْلَ عَمَلِ النَّهَارِ وَعَمَلُ النَّهَارِ قَبْلَ عَمَلِ اللَّيْلِ حِجَابُهُ النُّورِ لو كشفه لأحرقت سبحات وجهه من تهى إليه بصره من خلقه. الحديث صحيح. نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, verily, Allah does not sleep. إن الله لا ينام. Allah does not sleep. And it is not befitting for him to sleep. Why isn't it befitting for Allah to sleep? Because يخفض القسط ويرفعه. Because he's lowering the scale and he's raising the scale. What does this mean? Lower and raise the scale. Al-Qist is his decree and the provisions. Meaning Allah Azza wa Jal, every moment he is engaged in sending down decree and provision and raising decree up. Sometimes Allah Azza wa Jal restricts provision upon his creation. And for other people, he showers them with his provision. This is yarfa'u al-qista wa yakhfidu al-qista wa yarfa'u. Every moment he is honoring those who are worthy to be honored. And he is dishonoring those that should be dishonored. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. Every single day Allah Azza wa Jal is involved in an affair. Meaning, he's guiding some, he's forgiving some. Others are being cursed by Allah Azza wa Jal. He's providing for some, looking after others. And this is happening every day. For this is why Allah Azza wa Jal لا ينام ولا ينبغي له أن ينام. He's holding the heavens and the يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَنْ تَزُولَ. Imagine Allah Azza wa Jal slept for a moment. What would happen to everything that he looks after? Everything would be in chaos. Everything would be in ruin and destroyed and perished. وَمَعَاذَ اللَّهِ وَحَاشَاهِ, that this happens to him. He doesn't sleep. Then also يُرْفَعُ إِلَيْهِ عَمَلُ اللَّيْلِ قَبْلَ عَمَلِ النَّهَارِ. The deeds of the night, everything that you do of deeds, good and bad, at night, are raised to him before the deeds of the day. And all the deeds of the day are raised to him before the deeds of the night. Meaning, end of the day, all your deeds go up to Allah. And at the end of that night, all your deeds go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, he is and he must be al-hayy. And it is not befitting for him to sleep. Imagine the angels are taking up your deeds and they're going up to Allah and they find our Lord asleep. Ma'ad Allah. It doesn't happen. And this is what the Christians said about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they say, he rested on the seventh day after creating the heavens and the earth. Whoever describes Allah in such a manner really did not know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Allah in that same hadith, حِجَابُهُ النُّورِ, that Allah azza wa jal is covering, he covers himself from his creation with a curtain of light. حِجَابُهُ النُّورِ. لَوْ كَشَفَهُ, if he was to lift this curtain of light, لَأَحْرَقَتْ سُبُحَاتُ وَجِهِ مَنْ تَهَى إِلَيْهِ بَصَرُهُ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. The light, سُبُحَاتُ وَجِهِ, meaning the light of Allah, even though وَجِهِ is mentioned here, which means face, it actually refers to Allah himself, right? This is something known as ذِكْرُ الْبَعْضِ يُرَادُ بِهِ الْكُلِّ. Sometimes a part of Allah is mentioned, and what is meant by this, the complete. So in this hadith, it means that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to unveil this curtain and his light was to shine on everything that he can see, which is all his creation, it would have burnt. All of it. The oceans would burn and the sun would burn and the moon would burn and the throne. And even the fire would burn because this is something that's created. The mountains would burn. All his creation would burn subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's light is referred to as subuhat wajhihi, subuhat wajhihi. Now, why was light referred to subuhat? Here, al-ulama, rahimahumullah, they say that the light of Allah is called subuhat, and his curtain is made of light, because when the angels observe this light, the curtain, the light, they begin to make tasbih of him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the light that comes from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately its effect upon a person is that he begins to engage in tasbih of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's called subuhatu wajhihi. For this is why, inna Allah azza wa jalla la yanam, wa la yanbaghi lahu an yanam. طيب. Now I want to share with you three points concerning the eloquence of this part of the ayah, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. You know, most of the times we're studying what Allah is saying, explaining what Allah is saying. But from time to time, it's good to look at how Allah says things. How Allah Azza wa Jal says things implies so many other things that you can benefit from, and you can observe and see the eloquence and the beauty in the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now look at this. Allah Azza wa Jal said, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Do you notice that sinatun and nawm don't have an alif lam with it, right? لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. He did not say, لا تأخذه السنة ولا النوم. Now why are we saying this? Because the two names that came before had an alif lam, right? الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. لا تأخذه. He did not say, لا تأخذه السنة ولا النوم. Even though you would have expected for the trend to continue. But that wasn't the case. Al-Hay, Al-Qayyum. When it came to Sinatun and Nawm, the Alif Lam was omitted. Now, what does this imply? What it implies is the most insignificant and small matter. What this means is that لا تأخذوا سنتون ولا نوم, meaning not even a microsecond of slumber or sleep overtakes him. Nothing at all. The smallest counting figure does not overtake him in terms of slumber and sleep. See how beautiful this is. Meanwhile, in the names, Al-Hay, Al-Qayyum, the Alif Lam is there to imply absolute, complete, perfect life and perfect Qayyumiyyah for Allah Azza wa Jal, the self-sustaining and everyone depending on Him, right? فإذن, that's one thing. That's a beautiful thing to notice. لا تأخذوا سنتون, absolutely nothing. Not even a microsecond. Now the other thing is this. If Allah Azza wa Jal negated the sinner, if He negated from Himself, and He said that the first stage of sleep, which is slumber, that doesn't stand a chance in my way, nothing at all, not even a microsecond of sinner, then isn't that obvious that he will not sleep? Isn't it obvious? If Allah Azza wa Jal is saying a sinner, which is the first stage of sleep, this doesn't happen, then it's obvious that the deep stage, which is a nawm, doesn't happen. So why would Allah Azza wa Jal negate that? What is the wisdom? If a sinner doesn't happen, obviously the nawm doesn't happen. So why is this negated? Now, فَهِيَ الْعُلَمَاءُ رَحِمَهُمُ اللَّهُ, they say, because there is a possibility for a person to enter a nawm without entering the first stage of sleep, which is a sinner. For example, some people we have traveled with, when they're very, very, very tired, extremely tired, and you put your head on the pillow, Heather, he doesn't even know what a sinner is. He's already sleepy. And the noises come out. So a person can enter a deep state of sleep and skip the whole process of a sinner. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negates two things so that no one could think, if sinner doesn't overtake him and he didn't mention, maybe possibly he enters into a deep state of sleep immediately. وحاشاه. So Allah Azza wa Jal covered it from that angle. And He negated this, and then He negated this as well. So no one comes later to say, He only negated the first stage of sleep, maybe the second can happen. Subhanallah. And there's one more thing. Allah Azza wa Jal repeats the negation, the negating particle, which is the la. He said, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. As opposed to saying, لا تأخذه سنة ونوم. Could have been the case. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Slumber and sleep does not overtake him. لا, but the ayah said لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. When you translate it, it means slumber does not overtake him, nor does sleep overtake him. What does this imply? When the la is repeated, what it implies is that, يعني, let's say, in the case where the la wasn't repeated, let's say the ayah was, لا تأخذوا سنة ونوم. If that was the case, then the ayah is only negating that these two things do not happen in one time. If the ayah was, لا تأخذوا سنة ونوم, it would have only meant that the first stage of sleep and the deep stage of sleep, both of them do not happen in one time. But it will not negate the fact that slumber, the first stage of sleep, can happen alone. Or the deep stage of sleep could happen alone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم, He repeats the لا, it now means both these things cannot happen one time, and sinna by itself without nawm cannot happen, and nawm without sinna also cannot happen. And then the emission of the alif lam means not even a microsecond of sinna nor sleep can happen and less than a microsecond. Subhanallah, this is extremely beautiful. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Subhanallah, how could Allah Azza wa Jal be overtaken by sleep? Sleep is a sign of tiredness and fatigue and exhaustion. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't get tired. In Surah Qaf, Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. We were not touched by any tiredness and fatigue whatsoever. Nothing. وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He created sleep. Sleep is something created. And He gave it to human beings and He gave it to His creation. Humans and animals and insects and birds and fish and all that sleeps. And subhanallah, we can't even control our sleep. That's how weak the human being is. Weak is a sign, sleep is a sign of weakness. We cannot even control our sleep. If we were able to control our sleep, then accidents due to micro sleeps would have never happened. So, you know, 20 to 30% of all deaths and severe injuries happen because of micro sleeps. You can't control it. You cannot control your sleep. If you are able to, this 30% figure would have been erased. But subhanallah. And what is beautiful about this is that we said that Ayatul Kursi, the sunnah as well, is to recite it before going to sleep. This here, when you're just before you're sleeping and you're saying Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum, from the bed, as you're sleeping, you're saying la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Automatically, this part of the ayah is reminding you of the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal. As you're about to enter this deep sleep and you're finished, the last thing you said, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm, it's like you gave up. And ya Allah, no, I can't stay awake. You're the one that never sleeps. You're the one that is never overtaken by sleep. As for me, I'm on my bed about to sleep. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. الله أكبر. Allah Azza wa Jal, then He says, له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. To Him belongs all that which is in the heavens and in the earth. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. This له, when it comes at the beginning, it implies exclusivity, meaning only to Him and no one else. As opposed to saying, مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَهُ. But لَهُ came first. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. What does that imply? If لَهُ came first, it implies that only to Him and no one else. Exclusivity. And this is why it is going to come with us, inshallah ta'ala, in أَذْكَارُ الصَّبَاحُ وَالْمَسَاءُ. What do we say? We say, أَصْبَحْنَا وَأَصْبَحَ الْمُلْكُ لِلَّهِ. From the very beginning of the day, you're saying, we wake up, we have entered the morning, and the entire kingdom belongs to Allah. And in the afternoon, you're saying, أَمْسَيْنَا وَأَمْسَى الْمُلْكُ لِلَّهِ. We have reached and entered the afternoon. the evening. And all the kingdom belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. Make the connection. When you're saying in Ayat al-Kursi, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, you're going to repeat this again. When you say, أَصْبَحْنَا وَأَصْبَحَ الْمُلْكُ لِلَّهِ, يعني from the very beginning, from the morning, when you say, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that should settle you down. You own nothing. As you're walking to your car, as you walk out of your house, as you're heading towards your work, as you're heading towards whatever it is that you have ownership of by Allah's permission, the reality is you own nothing. It all belongs to Him. You see how powerful this is? From the very beginning of the morning, a person is empowered with these words. He's charged with these words. He wakes up not concerned. What I lose today, what I gain today, what I have, what I don't have, Mawla, all belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal anyway. And if I do want something, and it's in His hand, then turn to Him and ask Him. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. This word, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, this مَا means whatever. Whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth is for Him. And this whatever, it includes the intellectual and the non-intellectual beings. Everything. Things that have a soul and things that don't have a soul. And when we say that Allah, to Him belongs all these things in the heavens and in the earth, we're referring to three things. He possesses, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the physical creation and the physical being of everything He created. The physical being, He owns it. And then He owns the actions and the sayings of that physical being. And then He owns its attributes and properties. I'll give you an example. The sun. When Allah Azza wa Jal says, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ, meaning He owns the sun, He owns its movements, and He owns its properties, which is He owns its heat, its light, its glare, its temperature, and millions of other properties of the sun that until now no one knows about. This is لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ. He owns the human being, and He owns everything that this human being does and everything that he says, and He owns all the attributes, your eyes and your nose and your ear and your mouth and even the tiny hairs that you cannot see. لَهُ, everything belongs to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why do I say this? Because you compare this to human beings. A person today, you could own something. You own your car, let's say. Your car outside, you own it. But you don't own the complete freedom of its movements and actions. Yani, you own your car, but you can't drive it the way you want on the street. There is a speed limit you need to follow. If you don't, there are consequences. You can't. You buy a house, you don't own the entire land. The front of the house, which known as easement, needs to be given to the council. It's not yours. But you own it, you bought it. It doesn't matter. This is how it is. Human beings, when they own something, your ownership of it is limited and it's dictated. But here we're speaking about لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, everything about anything. He subhanahu wa ta'ala owns it all. When it rains, He owns this water. And He owns the drops that are coming down. And He owns where they're going down. He knows exactly where and how many of these million drops are going to come down. And where is it going to rain and how and why and how it's going to move in the last second. All of this He owns. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That all belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahu Akbar. This is the Lord. This is Allah. This is the one who we worship, subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. My brothers and sisters in Islam, there's a imani point we need to make here. And that is, we said everything belongs to Him, yourself. Your wealth, your health, your family, your friends, your work, your cars, your homes, and anything you have, He owns it all. And if you indeed believe this, if you believe لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that everything belongs to Him, then be prepared. And know that perhaps your belief of this fact will be tested one day. How does Allah Azza wa Jal test your belief in this? Since you're the one that's saying and acknowledging and believing that to Him belongs all things, when Allah Azza wa Jal takes something from you, what are you supposed to say? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. The one who's able to say إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. When Allah Azza wa Jal takes something away from him, indeed he has passed the test, and that in and of itself is an acknowledgement that such a person believes everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why whoever says إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ during a calamity, when something is taken away from him, whether it's his wealth or health or some members of his family or children, or if his work was to be taken away from him, whatever it is that is taken away, if you're quick and immediate to say إِنَّا لِلَّهِ, we are for Allah, we are slaves of Allah, we belong to Allah, وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, we will be returning to him. Whoever is able to say that, the reward was huge. It was huge. Why? Because you passed the test. Because you passed a test and you acknowledged that yes, indeed, everything belongs to him. For the reward was أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. Upon such people, Allah sends his prayers upon them. صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. And Allah would shower them with mercy. The ulama would say showering them with mercy means that their calamity, Allah would ease it upon them and replace it with something else. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. And such people are guided. They are guided to the straight path in all their actions and their sayings. Allah would give them and grant them the guidance. And there is a beautiful story of between Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha and her husband Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. Abu Talha, he had a son. And this son, as mentioned in Sahih Ibn Hibban, that the more correct opinion is that the son was a child called Abu Umair. Abu Umair. And this was a child that once the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past him and seen him crying because his bird, which was called, his bird was a nagr. It's like a small type of bird. It had died. For this little boy was crying, for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past him and he said to him, Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala al-Nughayr? Oh Abu Umair, what happened? What happened to al-Nughayr, your small bird? For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioning this to calm him down, to be with him in this calamity of his that his bird had died. That was the boy that belonged to Salama and Abu Talha. Abu Umair, that was his kunya. He was a little boy. He got sick. He got sick in the house of Sulaym. Well, Abu Talha wasn't there. He knew that his son was sick and he loved him so much. Loved him so much. Very attached to him. And he had died. He had died that night. Well, Abu Talha didn't know. So Sulaym covered him with a blanket. And Abu Talha came in and he asked Sulaym, what happened to our child? How is he? She goes, he's good. He's in good condition. He hasn't rested since the day he got sick until this day. And what she means is that because he's died, he's rested. And this is known in Arabic, in Islam, as at-tawriyah fil kalam. At-tawriyah fil kalam. At-tawriyah fil kalam, it's permissible. يعني, you say something, you mean something, but the one who's listening to you understood from you a completely different thing. That's permissible. And you need to be smart in terms of how to use it so you can avoid lying as well. يعني, مثلا, I think it was Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, who once, someone came to his house and wanted to enter in his house. So Sufyan said to his son, tell him, I'm not here. And he drew a circle and said, I'm not sitting in the circle. I'm not sitting in the circle. He said, my dad's not here. And he's not in the circle. This is permissible. It's called the tawriyah fil kalam. So long as, of course, it doesn't involve stealing someone's rights or something like this. For she used this, a smart woman. She said to him, Wallah, he hasn't rested since the day he was sick. Because he's died now. He didn't know this. And so that night she had put perfume on and he engaged in sexual relations with her. And after that, subhanAllah, all of this, and his son is by his side dead and he's covered with a blanket. He doesn't know yet. So then she wanted to tell him the news. So she said to him, Ya Abu Talha, it's still night, dark, but you cannot see things clear. She said, أَرَأَيْتَ لَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا إِسْتَوْدَعَكَ وَدِيعًا. She said, I want to ask you a question. Imagine someone loaned you something. Someone gave you something to borrow. فَاسْتَمْتَعْتَ بِهَا And you enjoyed it for that moment you had it. Someone gave you his car. You enjoyed it. You used it for the time you had it. ثُمَّ طَلَبَهَا فَأَخَذَهَا مِنْكَ Then the owner, the rightful owner of this property, came and said, give me my property back, and he took it and he went. تَجْعَزُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ Would you be upset if someone did that? He said, no, why am I going to be upset? It's his things, he came and took it. She said to him, فَإِنَّ ابْنَكَ قَدْ مَاتْ Your son has died, and he has returned to Allah Azza wa Jal. Very smart woman. She's telling him, "Inna this son is a property of Allah. Allah has just taken back what he had given you. And the time it was with you, you enjoyed and you played with it. Now Allah Azza wa Jalla has taken it back. So you shouldn't be upset and you shouldn't be sad." فَاسْتَرْجَعَ وَحَمِدَ اللَّهِ At that very moment, he said, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ And this is the point, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ Subhanallah. Then he went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he was distraught and he said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what happened. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was surprised, he said to him, and your son was sleeping beside you when you were engaging in sexual relation with your wife? For he said to him, yes. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, may Allah azza wa jal place a barakah in that night of yours. And indeed then his wife went on to give birth to Abdullah ibn Abi Talhata radiyallahu anhu, and he died as a martyr fi sabilillah, and he had his own 12 children. Oh, mashallah, there was barakah that came from that family. Allah Azza wa Jal knows. He took one and he replaced him with tons of goodness, subhanallah, because of inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. For that's the point. Lahu ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Be ready, my brothers and sisters in Islam. A person could be tested any time. You don't know when the calamity hits. But the one who is steadfast upon the morning adhkar and the afternoon adhkar, your calamity is going to happen between one of these two times. If there's any calamity that's going to happen to you, it's going to happen to you in the morning or in the evening. There's no third time. For in the morning, if you've said, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ and it lived in your heart, it'll remind you to immediately say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ if something is taken away from you. And if you say Ayatul Kursi in the evening and a calamity happens, well, you're not far off from saying لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ That will give you enough inspiration and motivation to remind you to say إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ if something is taken away from you. Deep meanings. That's why you should be reading this ayah every single morning and evening to remind yourself of the reality and the fact. شوف الله أنا I don't know. How people live without reading Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa. What guidance does he have in his day and his evening if he was struck by something? What guidance does he have? لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ Now to emphasize this meaning, that everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah, to emphasize this meaning, Allah Azza wa Jal said, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jal said, who is it that can intercede with him except by his permission? Who is it? Who's the one who dares to intercede with Allah except by his permission? You see, look, this could have said, or this could have been said in about three ways. مَنْ يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ مَنِ الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ But Allah Azza wa Jal says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ creates more of a challenge. يعني when Allah Azza wa Jal says, مَنْ ذَا ذَا this word ذَا يعني what is being said is, who is the one who even dares to think he has a chance to stand before Allah and intercede for others? Who, يعني, كمان it implies الاحتقار. Who is this lowlife? Who is this degraded person who thinks he can stand before Allah and say, Allah, help my mate here. Help my friend. Help this one. Who thinks he can do this? شوف, The ayah before said, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Now in this part of the ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, you don't even own to open your mouth on the Day of Judgment and to intercede for someone you want. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Because on that day in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. No one will be able to put a case forward for anyone. No one can own anything of anyone else. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, يَا فَاطِمَةَ بِنْتَ مُحَمَّدٍ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ. O Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, fear Allah. فَإِنِّي لَا أُغْنِ عَنْكِ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. I can't do anything for you on the Day of Judgment. And that too, that's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved of mankind to Allah azza wa jal. He's saying to Fatima, you look after yourself. اتَّقِ اللَّهِ, because on the Day of Judgment, I cannot do anything for you. No one has the right to intercede except by his permission. Even before the intercession, as we said, no one has the right to even open his mouth. In Surah An-Naba, at the end, Allah Azza wa Jal said, لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنِ. Imagine it, لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ. When Surah Taha, Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, وَخَشَعَتِ الْأَصْوَاتِ لِلرَّحْمَنِ. That the voices are humbled, they are soft, they are silent before the Most Merciful. Allah Azza wa Jal then said, فَلَا تَسْمَعُ إِلَّا هَمْسَا. The only thing you can hear on that day is al-hams. Wal-hams, as al-ulama, rahimahumullah, they said, وَطْءُ الْقَدَمْ. The footsteps of people as they move on the Day of Judgment. That's all you can hear. No one is allowed to talk. See how that emphasizes that he owns everything in the heavens and in the earth? And even on the Day of Judgment, you can't open it. Subhanallah. And يعني, if no one has the right to intercede and no one opens his mouth and talks, it means no one owns a single thing on that day and all matters are in Allah's hand, which is proven in لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. What this implies is that Allah is not in need of anyone at all. I want to give you an example, worldly life, in how الشَّفَاعَةِ, how intercessions happen between people, so you can really understand how Allah Azza wa Jal is not in need of anyone. I'll give you an example. You see, today, how does the shafa'a work today? Today, in worldly sense, if I wanted to be a connection or a help or a support for a person I know, this is what happens usually. Today, let's say I want to work in a specific company that is paying good wages for a specific position. Now, it'd be silly if I just went to the CEO, please, can you choose me for this job? That's not gonna happen. So what do you do in today's world? What people do, you'll go to a friend of the CEO, friend of the director, friend of whoever it is that's in that high position, that you know. You need to go to a friend of his that you know really good. And then you say, please, can you intercede for me on my behalf? Put in a good word for me. Can you put in a good word for me? Bye. Now this CEO or the director or this big boss, he's only going to accept this intercession most likely because of two reasons. Number one, because he's afraid. Number one, because he is afraid. Yani, such as in the case of, you know, the commander of the armies, usually when you have a country, masalan, there's a government and there's a military army and there is the commander of the army. And someone, a close friend of the commander of the army, he comes to him and he wants a specific job in the government. So the commander of the army goes to the president and he says, I have a friend of mine, put him in this position. The president is scared. He has to listen to what the commander of the army says, because if he doesn't, he risks a military coup. He could be overthrown. So he's kind of forced to see what this guy wants and get him over and done with. So today, a shafa'a intercession could be accepted because the person in that high position is afraid. So he does what this person tells him. And the other reason could be because he wants a benefit from this person later on. So you know what? I'll accept your shafa'a, no problems. I'll put this brother in this position. But hey, I got one. So later on when I need something, you help me out. That's how it is. And if the big boss rejected the shafa'ah, what does that mean? Meaning you are nothing to him. He doesn't need you and he's not afraid of you. Shuf. Allah Azza wa Jal is not scared of anyone. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. He's not scared of anyone. And again, he's not in need of anyone. And he's not going to benefit from anyone. فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Put in your mind. This shafa'ah does not happen to anyone at all except by Allah Azza wa Jal's permission. إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Now, let me explain to you al-shafa'ah and what it is and the types of al-shafa'ah. We have ahead of us, inshallah, in our last 20 minutes, we'll discuss al-shafa'ah so that you can have knowledge of it, and we'll conclude with the topic of al-shafa'ah. We'll be bi-ithnillah in our next lesson. We're going to finish bi-ithnillah this surah. Listen very carefully so you can understand what is al-shafa'ah and what you're supposed to be thinking of when you're reading ayat al-kursi in the evening and in the mornings. Right? This is grand information and it is part of the aqidah of the believer. Al-shafa'ah, intercession. It obviously means mediation from someone or for someone. You mediate for someone else to gain some benefit or ward away from them some harm. This is what intercession is. Basically, intercession is when I'm helping someone out. Shafa'ah comes from the word shafa'a. Shafa'ah. Well, shafa'ah means what? Even. Shafa' means even. You know Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ. وَالشَّفَع is the odd. I swear by the even. الشَّفَع, I swear by the even, and I swear by the odd. So الشَّفَع comes from the word شَفَع, which means even, because الشَّفَع is like you were standing alone, you had no help, and now all of a sudden someone comes, and now two of you, now you've become even. Two. Someone now is going to help you and aid you and support you. Right? This is al-shafa'ah. Well, shafa'ah, intercession, is an act of mercy and generosity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon His servants and upon His slaves. And intercession is of two types. Stay focused and learn and listen. Number one, there is the intercession in this worldly life. And that has its rulings and laws and legislations. We're not going through that. What we want to discuss is the second type of intercession, which is the intercession that happens in the afterlife, on the Day of Judgment, when the people are resurrected from their graves. طيب. Intercession in the afterlife. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as we said, a part of the aqeedah, is that we confirm al-shafa'ah, the occurrence of the intercession, and that it will take place on the Day of Judgment, because there are two extremes when it comes here. Some said that there is no shafa'ah at all on the Day of Judgment, and some went to extremes that the shafa'ah could be for anyone could help anyone on the Day of Judgment, and that the angels are going to help. This is what the disbelievers thought. هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاءُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. The disbelievers said that their idols are going to help them out on the Day of Judgment and help them go into the paradise. فَالشَّفَاعَةِ, there are two extremes. There is a group that said there is no shafa'ah that exists on the Day of Judgment, no one's helping no one. And some said, no. Well, anyone can intercede for anyone, even if it was from the people of the fire. And Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah is right in the middle. We confirm that there is the occurrence of intercession that will take place on the Day of Judgment. But now we give it an explanation. The shafa'ah of the afterlife, the shafa'ah that happens on the Day of Judgment, is now of two types. The one that happens on the Day of Judgment. One called shafa'atun manfiyah. And the other one, shafa'atun muthbata. The first type is intercession which will be accepted. And another type is an intercession that will not be accepted, and a rejected intercession. The rejected intercession is the one that is for the wrongdoers. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said in the Quran, مَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ حَمِيمٍ وَلَا شَفِيعٍ يُطَاعٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal said, for the wrongdoers of Zalimeen, Al-Bayhaqi rahimahullah, he said, Al-Zalimeen in this ayah means the kuffar, those who died upon kufr and shirk. Allah said, those kuffar, for them, there will be no friend and there will be no intercessor who will be obeyed. So if someone wants to intercede on behalf of a kafir, that's not going to happen. وَلَا شَفِيعٍ يُطَاعٍ. Whoever's going to make a case and try to help a kafir, he is not going to be heard and not going to be obeyed. Right? That's closed. And another one, and this is very important, because some Muslims fall into this as well. Perhaps a lot of Muslims fall into this. And this is another category of a rejected intercession for a type of people. And that is those who frequently curse. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith, he says, لَا يَكُونُ اللَّعَانُونَ شُفَعَاءَ وَلَا شُهَدَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ اللَّعَانُونَ, those who frequently curse, because this is not from the character of a Muslim. The character of a Muslim is that he makes dua for his brothers. He says good words. He speaks words of honesty and justice. So the one who curses, filthy words come out of his mouth, and cursing meaning to remove a person from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whoever curses will not be eligible for a shafa'ah on the Day of Judgment. His chance to support and help others will be removed from him. No shafa'ah for him. وَلَا شُهَدَاءَ, and he cannot be a martyr on the Day of Judgment. He'll not be raised in the rank of the martyrs. Man, it's a big problem. Well, hadith is in Sahih Muslim, as authentic as it can be. And there is a story for it. That is, يعني عبد الملك ابن مروان, he had a slave of his, and he went and ordered this slave to go get something. And the slave was delayed. يعني he delayed and came back really late. فعبد الملك ابن مروان, he cursed him. لعنه. He cursed him. يعني this, and he cursed him because he came late. فأم الدرداء رضي الله عنها said to him, you see that curse that you made last night? I heard the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that those who curse will not be intercessors on the Day of Judgment. That right is stripped away from them. And they will not be resurrected and raised as martyrs on the Day of Judgment. That chance is also gone from them. Be careful. Yeah, this is a story. Abdul Malik ibn Marwan made a curse because someone was delayed to come to him, so he cursed him. Be careful. That's a shafa'a al-manfiyah. The kafir, if anyone tried to intercede for him, that's not going to be accepted. And the one who frequently curses, his shafa'a for others will not be accepted. The second type is a shafa'a al-muthbata, we said. The intercession that will be accepted. And this will only be for the people of at-tawheed, those who died upon la ilaha illallah. Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, man as'adu an-nasi bi shafa'atik? He said, O Messenger of Allah, who are the most blessed people and who are the most happiest and excited people concerning your shafa'ah on the Day of Judgment? Meaning, who's going to be happy to receive your shafa'ah on the Day of Judgment? فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم had said to Abu Hurairah, يعني, I had never thought anyone would ask me this question. فَجَزَاهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ وَرَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ. He asked him this beautiful question. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ خَالِصًا مِّنْ قَلْبِهِ. Whoever says لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ sincerely from his heart. Ibn Hajar رحمه الله, he said that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say khalisan, sincerely from his heart, so that the category of munafiqoon, hypocrites, could be removed from this hadith. Because they didn't say khalisan min qalbihi. The munafiq would say la ilaha illallah with his tongue only, nothing from his heart. Wa min an-nas man yaqulu amanna billahi wa bil yawm al-akhir wa ma hum bimu'minin. Subhanallah, the precise words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. والله سبحانه وتعالى, he says, ولا يملك الذين يدعون من دونه الشفاعة إلا من شهد بالحق وهم يعلمون. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said that these idols that the disbelievers worship besides Allah, the idols or the people that disbelievers worship besides Allah, are not able to intercede in front of Allah. They're not able. The intercession in front of Allah is only for those who shahida bilhaq, testified to the truth. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ, and they know. You see, it's not only saying la ilaha illallah, but you must know la ilaha illallah. They knew their tawheed. They knew that their Lord is the one Lord and the only Lord worthy of worship. And they believed this and they acted it and implemented it. Right? إِلَّا مَنْ شَهِدَ بِالْحَقِّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Even now we know, in order to qualify for a shafa'ah on the Day of Judgment, number one, لا إله إلا الله must be said with sincerity, ikhlas, from the heart. Number two, you must know La ilaha illallah. You must know it. This is why we're taking lots of time to explain Ayatul Kursi, so that you can know Allah Azza wa Jal. This is a condition. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ طيب. So these are the people that are eligible for the intercession on the Day of Judgment. طيب. What are the conditions for the intercession on the Day of Judgment? There are conditions. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, وَكَمْ مِنْ مَلَكٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ لَا تُغْنِي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ يَأْذَنَ اللَّهِ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَرْضَى. There are two conditions. Number one, Allah must approve and be pleased with the intercessor and the one being interceded for. That's number one condition. For intercession to happen, Allah must be pleased with the intercessor and the one who he will be interceding for. Must be pleased, Allah must be pleased with both of them and approve both of them. And the second condition is that Allah must give permission to the intercessor so that he can intercede. Allah must give him permission. So if this is the intercessor that is going to intercede for this person, Allah Azza wa Jal needs to approve of him and him and be pleased with him and him. And the second condition, Allah must give him permission. Allah would say to him, go ahead, then and only he can talk and make his intercession. And add to this as well, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also must give permission for the words that are going to be said. You can't just make up your own intercession. Even the words that are going to be said must only be said by Allah's permission. Say if someone wants to intercede for someone, يعني, oh Allah, wallah, this is a friend of mine, can you put him up with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No, that doesn't happen for people. That's not from your, as a human, as us, we cannot do this. That's a shafa'ah for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we're saying is that even the words must be by permission of Allah azza wa jal. Look at this, look how weak the human being is. What does he have? What does he owe? Nothing. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ Allahu Akbar. يعني حتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم even he cannot speak on the day of judgment. He cannot intercede for anyone except by Allah's permission. You understand how heavy the matter is? الله أكبر. Now الشفاعة المثبتة, we said that the intercession that is accepted, this now is of two types, right? عندكم, this is of two types. The accepted intercession is of two types. Number one, we say shafa'atun khassa wa shafa'atun 'amma. These are the two types. Shafa'atun khassa. There is a specific type of intercession, a special type of intercession. Let's explain this one. When we say shafa'a khassa, a special and a specific intercession, then this is only for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and no one else. Only for him, this kind of shafa'ah. From this shafa'ah is a shafa'atul uzma, the greatest intercession that happens on the Day of Judgment. Who does that belong to? It belongs only to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this shafa'atul uzma has been made reference of in the Quran. When Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ عَسَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. It is perhaps that Allah Azza wa Jal would raise you upon an elevated status. مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا, a praised status. What's this مَقَام المحمود? المقام المحمود is a shafa'atul uzma that is given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment. Al-maqamul mahmood is the greatest intercession that Allah would give permission for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have. What is this great intercession? What is it? What is it exactly? It comes in a long hadith. We'll summarize it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was once sitting with his companions. He took a piece of meat and he bit it. And then he said, أَنَا سَيِّدُ النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ I am the master of mankind on the day of judgment. I'm the head of everyone. And then he said to them, هَلْ تَدْرُونَ لِمَا ذَاكْ Do you know why I'm saying this? You know why I am the master on the day of judgment? He said, يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ فِي صَعِيدٍ وَاحِدٍ Allah Azza wa Jal will gather the first and the last of mankind all on one plane. Everyone standing there barefooted, naked, uncircumcised. And غُرْلًا, بُهْمًا, they don't own anything as well. And the sun is a mile away from their head. Meal. That could mean a mile, or it could mean the eye of a needle. You see the eye of a needle? That in Arabic is called meal. It's called al-meel. So, the sun is this much away from the head? Could be a possibility. Allahu a'lam. At that moment, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَيَبْلُغُ النَّاسُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَالْكَرْبِ مَا لَا يُطِيقُونَ وَلَا يَتَحَمَّلُونَ Distress, calamity, sadness, depression, worry has overtaken all the people to the point where they can no longer bear. لَا يُطِيقُونَ وَلَا يَحْتَمِلُونَ خلاص, that's it. فيقول الناس بعضهم لبعض People start talking to each other. But don't you see what's happening to us? Well, can't you see we're just standing here? And things are intensely hot and what do we do? ألا تنظرون من يشفع لكم إلى ربكم? So people are talking to each other and they say, shouldn't we go to someone and see who can intercede to Allah Azza wa Jal? What do the people want? People at that time want Allah to start accountability. Because there's no accountability yet. Everyone's just standing. Allah Azza wa Jal hasn't called one person at a time to hold him to account. So the people want this to start. So they talk to each other. Let's go to someone that can talk to Allah and start this accountability. فَيَقُولُ النَّاسُ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَلَيْكُمْ بِآدَمْ People start saying, hey, let's go to Adam. Let's head to Adam alayhi salam and talk to him. So they come to Adam alayhi salam and they remind him of who he is. You're the man and you're the father of mankind. Allah created you with your hand and he blew within to you ar-ruh that he put in you. And he commanded the angels to make sujood for you. Can you intercede to our Lord? Can't you see what the people are in today? Can't you see what's happening? So Adam alayhi salam would say, إِنَّ رَبِّي قَدْ غَضِبَ الْيَوْمَ غَضَبًا لَمْ يَغْضَبْ قَبْلَهُ مِثْلَهُ وَلَنْ يَغْضَبَ بَعْدَهُ مِثْلَهُ He said to them, my Lord today, is angry, such an anger that he was never angry like this before and he will never be angry like this ever after. غضب صفة لله عز وجل It is an attribute of Allah عز وجل befitting to His Majesty سبحانه وتعالى And then he said to them وإني قد نهاني عن شجرة فعصيته And he forbid me from eating from a tree And he didn't even eat from it. He just tasted. فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ He just tasted from the tree. He said, but I disobeyed Allah. نَفْسِي, نَفْسِي, نَفْسِي. I'm looking after myself today. Only myself, only myself. اِذْهَبُوا إِلَى غَيْرِ Go, go, someone else. And look at this. This is Adam alayhi salam. He's remembering one sin he did. And by the way, Allah had already repented and accepted his tawbah for it. فَتَلَقَّ آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّي كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ Allah had already accepted his tawbah. But he's still bothered by this sin. So he goes, go to Nuh. And all of mankind would go to Nuh alayhi salam. And they would say, Ya Nuh, you're the first messenger of Allah that he sent to mankind. And Allah Azza wa Jal called you Abdan Shakura. Please, intercede to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's start something, the accountability. And they say to him, like what they said to Adam alayhi salam. And Nuh would say the same thing, my Lord is angry today, such an anger, he was never angry like this ever before and will never be angry like this ever after. And he says, I had one dua that is accepted and I used it against my people. So nafsi, nafsi, I'm looking after myself today. Go to someone else. Go to Ibrahim. For they go to Ibrahim alayhi salam and mankind will remind Ibrahim of who he is, that you're the friend of Allah Azza wa Jal. Can you intercede to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us? And he'll say to them the same thing. And then he will mention, إِنِّي قَدْ كَذَبْتُ ثَلَاثَ كَذِبَاتٍ I lied three lies in my life. And even then, if you look into these three things, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say, they are three lies, fi dhatillah. He lied them for Allah's sake. So they're not even considered lies. But that's how he sees them. That was yani when he referred to his wife as being his sister. Well, true, sister in Islam she is. And he wanted to save her from the oppressive king at the time. Because if the king knew that was his wife, he would have killed him and taken her. So he said, it's my sister. And when the people, the mushrikeen, wanted to take him out to their party, and there were idols and shirk and that, he said to them, نَظَرَ نَظَرَةً فِي النُّجُومِ فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ. He looked into the stars and he said, well, I'm sick today. Well, he wasn't sick, but he's sick of their shirk. And the last one was, when he broke the idols, and he said, فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُ مَاذَا. He broke the idols, and he left one, and he put the axe on its neck, and he said to the people, فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُ مَاذَا. The big one did it. The big one did it. Now there are different opinions as to what he actually meant by this. Some said the big one, meaning the big finger, is the one that did it. Some say that he only did this because he said after, فَسَأَلُوهُمْ. Ask them if they talk. Because if they talk, they'll say the truth, and they'll say that indeed Ibrahim did it. So he said, فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُ مَاذَا فَسَأَلُوهُمْ. Ask him. Yani he's trying to highlight that this is dead. These are people. Why are you worshipping this? It doesn't even talk. It couldn't even defend its own self, and it cannot even tell you who, what happened to it and how it was destroyed. طيب. But he's not up for interceding for anyone because these are three lies. And he said, all his life he counted three lies. And yet if you look at the case of some people today, three lies a minute. People are lying three lies a minute. Wallah, yani, subhanallah. You can just imagine the case of mankind. So he says, go to someone else. Go to Musa alayhi salam. People will go to Musa and they'll remind Musa of who he is. Allah had sent the message to you. And Allah Azza wa Jal spoke to you. Can you intercede to Allah Azza wa Jal? He says, Allah is angry today. And he is not up for it. And he says, إِنِّي قَتَلْتُ نَفْسًا لَمْ أُمَرْ بِقَتْلِهَا. I killed an innocent soul, I wasn't commanded to kill. Oh, by the way, didn't he also, after that sin, he said, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي فَغَفَرَ لَهُ. And Allah had forgiven him. No, but he's still bothered by this thing that he did. He says, نَفْسِي, نَفْسِي, I'm looking after myself today, go to someone else. So they go, he said, اِذَبُوا إِلَىٰ عِيسَى. Go to Isa alayhi salam. So mankind will go to Isa and will remind him of who he is. You're the word of Allah and the spirit that he sent to Maryam alayhi salam. Wallah Azza wa Jal, and you spoke to people when you were still a baby in the cradle. Can you intercede? For he says to them the same thing as the other prophets. وَلَمْ يَذْكُرْ ذَنْبَا. He does not even mention a sin. But then he still says, myself, myself, I'm looking after myself. Go to someone else. Go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani these are all, who did we just mention? All these are noble prophets. Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul, the best of the prophets. And look at their state. So imagine the other prophets and what their state will be. Then imagine the companions and what their state will be. Then imagine the righteous and how their state will be. Then imagine the remaining people, us, the Muslims, the rest of the people. And then imagine the state of a sinner. And then imagine the state of a disbeliever. Allahu Akbar. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us. فَيَأْتُونَ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Mankind will come to Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. فَذَوْ سَيَّا مُحَمَّدْ أَنْتَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And you're the final messenger of Allah. And Allah has forgiven you. مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرْ. All your previous and future sins, everything Allah had forgiven. Can you intercede to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَالنَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, he says, فَأَنْطَلِقُوا فَآتِي تَحْتَ الْعَرْشِ. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم is for it. In another narration he says, أنا لها. I am for this job. And this is what we're talking about, what? الشفاعة العظمى. The greatest intercession. This is it. It's about to happen. For he walks until he reaches underneath the arsh. Because by then the arsh is already down. It's on the plains of the Day of Judgment. فأخر ساجدا لربي. And he falls into sujood for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the greatest and the most noble position a human being could ever be in. Have we imagined the one who doesn't pray? He has deprived himself from the most noble position a human could ever be in. This is why every rak'ah has two sujood, because this is the most noble action. Allahu Akbar. فَأَخِرُّ سَاجِدًا لِرَبِّي. He makes a sujood for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, implying sincerity for Allah azza wa jal. ثُمَّ يَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَلَيَّ مِنْ مَحَامِدِهِ وَحُسْنِ الثَّنَاءِ عَلَيْهِ شَيْئًا لَمْ يَفْتَحُ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلِي. Allahu Akbar. Allah azza wa jal would give Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knowledge of how to praise him in such a way no one ever knew about this ever before. And you know, now when we praise Allah, there are things we say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. But there are higher words than all of this that we don't know. On the Day of Judgment, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given these special words of praise. And he says them on that day, and this is the first time in your life to ever hear anything like this about Allah azza wa jal. Allahu Akbar. ثُمَّ يُقَالُ يَا مُحَمَّدِ ارْفَعْ رَأْسَكَ. Allah Azza wa Jal would say, and he would call out to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would say to him, raise your head, ارْفَعْ رَأْسَكَ, because he's in sujood, raise it. سَلْ تُعْطَهُ, ask, and you will be given that which you ask. وَأَشْفَعْ تُشَفَّعْ, and intercede, because I am going to give you permission, and I will accept your intercession. فَأَرْفَعُ رَأْسِي. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would raise his head. فَأَقُولُ يَا رَبِّي يَا رَبِّي أُمَّتِي يَا رَبِّي أُمَّتِي. He would say يَا رَبْ three times, and he would say أُمَّتِي أُمَّتِي two times. My nation, meaning look after my nation, look after my nation. Help and aid my nation, لِهُوَ us. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to include us in this call. فَيُقَالُ يَا مُحَمَّدُ أُدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةَ أَدْخِلِ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ أُمَّتِكَ مَنْ لَا حِسَابَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْبَابِ الْأَيْمَنِ مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الْجَنَّةِ وَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ النَّاسِ فِيمَا سِوَى ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْأَبْوَابِ. Then the Nabi, Allah Azza wa Jal would say, يَا مُحَمَّدُ, admit into the paradise from among your nation those who are not going to be held accountable. There is a group, there is a number of people from the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that will not be held accountable for their deeds. And they are in certain ahadith. These are the first people for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, go and enter the paradise from al-bab al-ayman min abwab al-jannah, from the right side of the gate of the paradise, enter there. So they will rush straight to the door and go straight in. وَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ النَّاسِ فِيمَا وَذَلِكَ مِنَ الْأَبْوَابِ. And this same door, other believers would enter. But when after their accountability, and if there's any punishment or anything for them, that's going to happen before they enter from that door. طيب. For this here is called الشَّفَاعَةُ الْعُظْمَى. And this is part of الشَّفَاعَةُ الْخَاصَةُ. As we said, the special shafa'ah. From the first ones of the special shafa'ah is this great intercession that is given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After this incident, the accountability begins. Now Allah begins to hold the people to account, and the angels are down, and they bringing one by one to Allah azza wa jal, standing there. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تُرْجُمَانَ. There is no interpreter, no translator. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala will begin to address whether it is the kafir there or the believer, whoever it is. And then you know the story after that, they go with their book, بِيَمِينِهِ بِشِمَالِهِ, and the entire day of the Day of Judgment begins to unfold. But that's الشَّفَاعَةُ الْعُظْمَى. Also, from the special shafa'ah that is only for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be for the believers to enter the paradise. That's also a special shafa'ah for him. And this is that when the believers finally pass as-sirat and they're on the other side, so that's it. This, the door of the paradise is here. But they're standing at a place called Al-Qantara. Again, Shafa'atul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be for these believers that have made it and crossed As-Sirat, that, oh Allah, admit them into the paradise. And by Allah's permission, He'll accept the Shafa'ah and the believers would enter the paradise. And from the special Shafa'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that He intercedes for people who their hasanat and their bad deeds are equal. He intercedes for him, and Allah Azza wa Jal admits him into the paradise. And also from the special shafa'ah is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would intercede for his uncle Abu Talib. that Allah Azza wa Jal limit and reduce the punishment for him. And so Allah Azza wa Jal would accept the shafa'ah, and Abu Talib, the uncle of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, would receive the minimal punishment in Jahannam. He is standing on coal in where his brain is boiling. Allahu Akbar. And this remains forever. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we're coming towards the end. The last and final of these categories, we said in the accepted shafa'ah, it is of two types. The special shafa'ah that is for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam only. The other type, it's called al-shafa'ah al-ammah, the general intercession. And this general intercession, it is for, once again, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but not limited to him. That's for other prophets as well, for the angels and for the righteous. All these types of people will get a chance to intercede for others. So the righteous believers, Allah Azza wa Jal would give permission for the righteous believers to intercede for people that are in the fire from their brothers that were Muslims. Imam al-Bukhari wa Muslim rahimahum Allah mentioned the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, in when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking about the believers that were saved from the fire. So these are believers that did not enter the hellfire. They will see people they knew in the hellfire. Now these are righteous people. They have been saved from the fire, but they will observe and notice friends of theirs that because he's in the hellfire. What's he doing there? So they will say, Rabbana ikhwanana, our Lord, look, our brothers. Kanu yusalluna ma'ana, they used to pray with us. وَيَصُومُونَ مَعَنَا, and they used to fast with us. Notice this word, with us, meaning there was company with the righteous. وَيَعْمَلُونَ مَعَنَا, and they used to do the works of the good with us. For Allah Azza wa Jal would say, اذهبوا, go. فَمَنْ وَجَدْتُمْ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالَ دِينَارٍ مِنْ إِيمَانٍ فَأَخْرِجُوهُ. He will say to these believers that did not enter the hellfire, upon them noticing brothers of theirs in the fire, Allah would say to them, enter the fire, go in. And pull out of the fire whoever has the size of a coin, dinar, of iman in his heart. So there is some kind of obvious iman in his heart. And Allah Azza wa Jal obviously would show them this kind of iman in their hearts. So Allah Azza wa Jal, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَيُحَرِّمُ اللَّهُ صُوَرَهُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ. And Allah Azza wa Jal would forbid themselves from being burnt in the fire. So these righteous people are about to step foot into this hellfire, but they got like a kind of protection around them. They will not burn. So then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَيَأْتُونَ وَبَعْضُهُمْ قَدْ غَابَ فِي النَّارِ إِلَىٰ قَدَمِهِ. They'll begin to come and they approach these people that they knew. Some of them, they're immersed in the fire, ankle deep, and some knee deep in the fire. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَيُخْرِجُونَ مَنْ عَرَفُوا. They will take out from the fire whoever they know. You say, how it's important? Very important to accompany righteous people. Very important. Because they're only going to bring out مَنْ عَرَفُوا, whoever they knew. ثُمَّ يَعُودُونَ, then they come out. Then Allah would say, go back in. And whoever has half a coin of iman, bring him out. So they'll go back in. فَيُخْرِجُونَ مَنْ عَرَفُوا. They'll bring out whoever they recognize and know. Then Allah Azza wa Jal would say to them, go back, and this time take out whoever had مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ iman, an ant's weight of iman in his heart. Go and bring him out. Pull him out. So فَيُخْرِجُونَ, again, مَنْ عَرَفُوا. They'll bring out those who they recognize and who they know. Allahu Akbar. So how do you earn this type of shafa'ah if a person ended up in Jahannam? How does he earn this? By his acknowledgement and accompanying of the righteous. And this is why Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimahullah, he said, at that moment, when the disbelievers see this happening, they will say, فَمَا لَنَا مِنْ شَافِعِينَ وَلَا صَدِيقٍ حَمِيمٍ. This is when they regret, and they will hit themselves regretting, and they say, مَا لَنَا مِنْ شَافِعِينَ. We have no one to intercede for us. وَلَا فَمَا لَنَا مِنْ شَافِعِينَ وَلَا صَدِيقٍ. We didn't even have a close friend. Look at these people. At least they had friends that came in and brought them out. As for us, we envied the believers. We hated the believers. So there is no one to pull them out. Subhanallah. Also, from among the general shafa'ah is your recitation of the Qur'an. Your recitation of the Qur'an, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, recite the Qur'an, because the Qur'an will come on the Day of Judgment, an intercessor for the person who read it. It comes as a lawyer. The Qur'an defends you on the Day of Judgment. Al-Qur'an could help a believer. Oh Allah, and the Qur'an would say, oh Allah, I prevented him from sleep at night, and he read me during the day. And as a result, your Qur'an intercedes for you and you come out. Was-siyam, fasting as well. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, as-siyam wal-Qur'an yashfa'ani lil-abdi yawm al-qiyamah. For fasting, that will intercede for you on the Day of Judgment. Also, salatul janazah ala al-mayyit, praying the janazah prayer upon the dead. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if 100 people pray upon a dead person and they make dua for him, Allah Azza wa Jal will accept their intercession for him on the Day of Judgment, if 100 people pray. Then in another narration, if 40 people pray. And then the final narration said, if 3 lines pray. And 3 lines could be less than 40, right? فَيَعْنِي The last thing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say regarding this matter was the 3 lines. So if there are 3 lines that prayed upon a believer that had died, and all of them were upon La ilaha illallah, and they made dua for him, if these believers made dua for him, then on the Day of Judgment, this dead person will earn their shafa'ah on the Day of Judgment. Shuf, how beautiful this is. Yani meaning, into now when we hear about someone dying, go and pray and continue to pray upon the dead in hope that you will have bi'ithnillah the same thing, and then bi'ithnillah the believers will be able to intercede for each other on the Day of Judgment. And finally, 2 more matters here, and that is to repeat after the mu'adhin. To repeat after the mu'adhin and then to say as-salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the adhan. So you've repeated after mu'adhin. Once the adhan is finished, you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. And then you say the dua, Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tammah was-salati al-qa'imah, ati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila wab'ath Allahumma maqam al-mahmud alladhi wa'adtah. What's al-maqam al-mahmud? We said the great intercession to begin accountability. إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. In some narrations they authenticate it, some don't. It's no problem whether you say it or you don't. In Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم says, whoever says this, حلت له شفاعة يوم القيامة. Meaning my intercession becomes mandatory for him. Whose intercession? النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم's intercession became mandatory for the person who continuously says this after al-adhan. Allahu Akbar. Meaning you are in the care of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And if you're in his care, then things are good for you on the Day of Judgment. And the final one is الشهادة في سبيل الله. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that الشهيد, the martyr, will be given permission to intercede for 70 of his family members. Heck, if they end up in the hellfire, he enters behind them and brings them one out, one after the other out. And all of this, as long as they had La ilaha illallah in their heart. As for a kafir, that's not from his family. It's from it. Your family on the Day of Judgment are only those who believed. Those who did not believe in the family are not a considered family on the Day of Judgment. Finally, after all these shafa'at that happen, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the righteous, the angels, other prophets, everyone's gone in, taken out whoever they can. That's it. No one knows anyone anymore. Final hadith. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَمْ يَبْقَ إِلَّا أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. There's one more shafa'ah left, and that is the shafa'ah of the most merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. فَيَقْبِضُ قَبْضَةً مِنَ النَّارِ. Allah will take a handful out of the hellfire. A handful out of the hellfire. فَيُخْرِجُ مِنْهَا قَوْمًا لَمْ يَعْمَلُوا خَيْرًا قَطْ. He takes out a handful from the hellfire, and these people never did anything. Wala, they had no actions, no deeds. قَدْ عَادُوا حُمَمَا. They have become charcoal, black. They have intensely burnt in Jahannam. فَيُلْقِيهِمْ فِي نَهْرٍ فِي أَفْوَاهِ الْجَنَّةِ يُقَالُ لَهَا نَهْرُ الْحَيَاةِ. And then he will put them in a river that is at the gate of the paradise. And this river is called the river of life. فَيَنْبُتُونَ. يخرجوا يعني ينبتون. They begin to grow once again. They will spring up just as the seed grows on the bank after a flood. You know when it floods, and once the flood water is all gone, subhanAllah, very quickly plants come out. For this, يعني, this is referring to how small they have become, how charcoal, how burnt they have become. And they are put in this river of life, and they are given life once again. There is a narration that says, مَكْتُوبٌ مِنْ عَاتِقِهِ نَحْنُ عُتَقَاءٌ مِنَ النَّارِ أو عُتَقَاءُ اللَّهِ مِنَ النَّارِ عَلَى عَاتِقِهِ. On their shoulders, it is written, we are the freed slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? So that they can always be reminded of Allah's favor upon them. And there is other narrations that would mention a group comes out from the hellfire and they are referred to as al-jahannamiyun. Heck, they're referred to as al-jahannamiyun, the people that came from the hellfire. And this is not degrading for them. Rather, this is a reminder for them that, remember where you came from. You came from Jahannam. Allah had removed you from there, and by His mercy, He has admitted you into the paradise. For we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us all of this and to admit us into the paradise bila hisabin wala adab. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept our gathering, to forgive our sins, to cause our death upon la ilaha illallah, to forgive every single sin of ours before we leave this dunya. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and to admit us into the highest levels of the paradise مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وجزاكم الله خيراً.